I get to that third column, I didn't have an understanding of what part of self was affected, so I just skipped over that. You see. But in the 12 and 12, he gives us some real good information about self and what makes self tick. And I always sponsor the people that I sponsor, I ask them to go to 12 and 12, read that information, get a working knowledge of those basic instincts of life so that we can better do the fourth step when we get to it.
I like to talk about these basic instincts that Joe's referring to really in step 3, because they can show us why we really need to take step 3. And I think we got to face the fact that when Bill wrote the big book, 1937, 38, and 39, Bill was not a great spiritual giant. Bill was not a great student of human nature. Bill was a night school lawyer and a New York City stock speculator. Yet he was able to write one of the most spiritual books the world's ever seen when he wrote the big book. You know, surely, God used Bill's hand to do so. But some years later, Bill began to realize that there was some information that he had become privy to in a period of years, that if he could get it out to the fellowship, it would make it easier to work the steps according to the big book Alcoholics Anonymous. So he wrote that series of essays in the 12 and 12 on the steps. Now, we do not believe that you can work the program out of the 12 and 12. You just can't do that. There's no directions on how to work it in the 12 and 12. And that's one reason people love it so much. They can get in there and philosophize and dance around and never do anything. But there's some information that Bill had learned through working with many, many alcoholics, through working with some of the greatest spiritual minds and psychiatric minds in the world, that he gave to us, which really helps us work these steps. And this part that we're talking about, these three basic instincts of life, he taught me on about 2 pages more about what makes me tick than I had learned in 40 years of living up until that time. And we're going to go through them just very briefly here, and it shows us why we really need to work the three. It's also going to set us up for step 4. He said these three basic instincts of life are God-given, and that all human beings are born with these things. He said they're absolutely necessary for survival of the human race. And without these three basic instincts of life, there would be no survival of our race. He broke it down into the social instinct, the security instinct, and the sexual instinct. And he said, under the social instinct, he said, all human beings are born with the desire to be liked, accepted, and respected by other people. He said, all human beings are born with the desire to come together in groups with other people. And he said, if we didn't have those desires, if we didn't join together in groups with other people, that the world would eventually go into a dog-eat-dog situation, complete anarchy would reign, and under those conditions, the human race would simply fail to survive. So these desires that you and I have, to be liked and accepted and respected by other people, these desires that we have to come together in groups with other human beings, they're God-given, they are a natural thing, and they are necessary for our survival. He used several terms under that. He talked first about companionship. Companionship is nothing more than wanting to belong or to be accepted. So many of us were born, raised on the outside of the crowd looking in, wanting to be a part of and knew we could not be. He talked about prestige. Prestige is wanting to be recognized or be accepted as the leader of the group. And the world needs leaders. Somebody's got to make decisions. You know, I guess back in the old caveman days, somebody had to say, Mary Jo, get behind that tree with your club. Billy Jack, you get behind that bush with your spear, and Joe and I'll run this sucker through here. And well, somebody has to do that. And most human beings will take one of two directions. Either let me be a part of, or let me be the leader of. And in either case, it's going to be based upon what other people think of us. If they like us, accept us, and respect us, we can become a part of those things, whatever it is we're wanting to do. He talked about self-esteem. Self-esteem is what we think of ourselves, and it's usually high or low. If we think that other people like us and accept us and respect us, we feel pretty good about ourselves. But if we think other people don't like us and accept us and respect us and reject us, if they do so, or if we even think they do so, we feel pretty lousy toward ourselves. Self-esteem. He talked about pride. I'm glad I got in the habit of going to the dictionary and looking words up. I always thought pride is something you were supposed to have. And as a young boy growing up, all I ever wanted to be was a man who walked tall with pride and a little bit sideways like John Wayne did, you know. But when I went to the dictionary and looked that word up, I found out I don't particularly want that pride. It's an excessive and unjustified opinion of oneself. We either think too well of ourselves, we think too little of ourselves, and in most cases it's absolutely not true anyhow. He talked about personal relationships. That's nothing more than our relations with other human beings and the world around us. He talked about ambitions. Ambitions are the plans for the future, to be liked, to be accepted, to be respected, to be a part of things that we plan for the future. Now, if you want to be liked and accepted and respected by the world and the people in it, the first thing you got to figure out is, what is it they want from me? And as kids growing up, we're usually taught those things by society, by what they teach us and by what we see happening. And one part of the world maybe is to have a good education. Another part of the world is to be a large landowner. Another part of the world is to have a large family. It could be any number of things. It'll vary in different parts of the world. And as we grow up, then we begin to try to determine what we need to be. And we set goals for ourselves. And if you're going to reach the goal, if you're going to get the good education, if you're going to be the large landowner, whatever it might be, you're going to have to work toward it. You can't just sit on your duff and be a bum and be liked and accepted and respected by other people. And I don't think you and I would do the work necessary to reach those goals that we set for ourselves if we didn't get a reward for doing so. The great reward we get comes at the moment of successful completion of the goal. Bill said it in his story when he said, "I had arrived." My God, how many of us have set that goal? Literally worked our tails off for years. We get there, they pat us on the back and they say, "Oh, Joe, you're a fine fellow. You're a smart individual. You're really, really a good man." And there's a feeling that comes over us, which is one of those indescribably wonderful feelings. We love that praise. The only thing wrong with it, though, is just a temporary feeling. Hell, you no sooner get the recognition and the praise that comes from the successful completion of the goal, and you look around and you say, "Well, is this all there is to it?" And you set another goal. And you work and you work and you strive and you strive, and you reach the new goal, you get the recognition like you want it, but it doesn't last long, and we set another goal. It seems to create within we human beings an insatiable desire for more and more recognition, more and more acceptance, more and more power, and are not giving it to us fast enough. We're not getting it the way we think we ought to get it, so we start taking shortcuts. We start doing a little lying, a little conning, a little manipulating, a little stepping on other people's toes and climbing on their backs. And the instant we do so, we hurt other people. They, in turn, retaliate against us and create pain and suffering for us. Yeah, the book's right when it says that a life run on self-will can hardly ever be a success, because under those conditions, we're always in collision with people, places, and things. He talked about the security instinct. And he said, all human beings are born with a desire to be secure in the future. He said, if we didn't have that desire, we wouldn't provide the food, the clothing, the shelter that we need in order to be able to survive in the future. In our next winter season, we would simply freeze to death. The next drought, we would starve to death. Now, I know everybody in AA tries to live one day at a time. But I also noticed about everybody in here has got an insurance policy of some kind. And that's what the insurance policy is for, to protect us in the future. He said, all human beings are born with that desire. Now, if you're going to be secure in the future, once again, you've got to decide, well, what is it I need in order to be secure? And this will vary in different parts of the world, too. Maybe one part of the world you just need $4. Another part of the world you need $4,000. Another part of the world you need $4 million. Another part of the world you need 192 coconuts, whatever it is that they use to measure, trade, and barter with. And we set our goal. And we begin to work toward that goal. And if you're going to reach the goal, you're going to have to work at it. You can't sit on your duff and be a bum and be secure tomorrow. At the same time, we're going to have to make some sacrifices. We can't blow everything we got today and be secure tomorrow. And I don't think you and I would do the kind of work necessary to be secure tomorrow if we didn't get a reward for doing so. And once again, the great reward comes at the moment of successful completion of the goal. How many of us have set that goal for the new bicycle, for the new dress, for the new car, for the new home, for the new business, for the new piece of property? And we work and we work and we strive and we strive, and a day that sucker's paid off and nobody can touch it. My God, what a great feeling that is. Hell, when I was a kid growing up, hardly anybody owned their own home. Nearly everybody rented. And once in a great while, somebody would get enough money together to make a down payment on a little four-room house. And they would pay and pay and pay and pay and pay. And the day that sucker's paid off, they call in all the neighbors. And we celebrate and we have a party. And we end up burning the mortgage at such a great deal. But the only thing wrong with it, you no sooner get the thing and have it paid off and it becomes yours. And you look around, you say, well, the hell's bells. Is this all there is to it?